All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we God, thank you for God, your wonderful, awesome, amazing presence. God, we thank you that you care for us so deeply. God, we thank you that you minister to us and you're such a help to us, God, in our times of need. God, we do pray that your Spirit would take your words God, into our hearts. God, that it would be food for us. God, that it would bring healing. And that it would cleanse us, God, and that you would reign over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to be back. I was in Korea for quite some time. As you guys could probably notice, I'm sporting some glasses now, right? Let the fog lift. It was a really good time. We got to travel, got to eat a lot of good food, visited a lot of different churches, and I think while I was there, God was speaking to me about what I'm about to share. I think in the series that we're embarking on I think what you're seeing here is the gospel-centered Holy Spirit. So we want to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, we want to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is. You know, as we go forward, we want to talk about, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we want to understand what God is doing in our lives. So let's enter right in as we talk about the third person of the Holy Spirit. There's a quote by Billy Graham. It says, "The Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, makes us yearn for God, and takes spiritual truths and makes it understandable to us." What caught my attention was that the Holy Spirit makes us yearn for God. It's because in the way that the Holy Spirit illuminates our minds, brings the word of God to bear, there is this yearning because God is irresistible. If we saw God as he is, we would hunger and thirst for God. If we experience God, and so for those who are, in the congregation, for those who have tasted of God, there is a undeniable hunger and thirst that you have to meet him again. And I think that's what this is talking about. Now, there is a need, and I think that's what we want to talk about here and, you know, today, is that we're such needy people. And I really appreciated what Robert was sharing. And, I think as we move through life, we build up such defenses, don't we? Because life is painful, you know? There's so much sorrow in life. There's a lot of stress, loneliness, you know? There's just so much temptation. It's just hard. Life is hard, isn't it? And, you know, I love singing. I love being reminded about singing about the greatness of God because God doesn't need for me to say that he's great. He knows he's great. He's not on some ego trip. I need to declare that he's great because you know what? Every day my problems want to be great. And I need to know that I serve a God who's bigger than my problems. Right? Amen. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is. But I think we could all admit that we've adapted, I think, this defense mechanism. I think Robert, I didn't talk to Robert before the sermon, but I just really appreciate it, And there's a bit of hardness, I mean, we talk about walking with God. Every day I'll walk with you, How many people want to walk with God, right? Have you ever walked with somebody, but you don't actually say anything to him? It's kind of awkward, isn't it? We all say we walk with God, but I don't even know if we talk to God. Do you talk to God as you walk with God? I mean, that's what he wants, right? I've been reading this book, Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. What an amazing, you know. I mean, he talked to God all the time. All the time. I mean, all the time. And it's such a novel idea to me because when I pray, I segment my time throughout the day and, you know, and I say, okay, I'm going to pray and then, you know, but just this idea that, you know, in this constant state of talking with God, how needy do you need to be to want to and need to talk with God every day? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, to understand the Holy Spirit, we have to kind of understand that when we become Christians, what we're really entering into. Because there is a spirit inside of us. It's called pride. And what at the heart of pride is independence, actually. And that's what Satan offered, you know, Adam and Eve, is this sense of independence from God. That was Satan's fall, wasn't it? He wanted to be independent of God, have his own name, have his own identity. And that is where all of our problems really come from. Do you believe that? Do you believe that all our maladies, all our pains come from this independent pride? How many people have a hard time asking for help? It's pride. It's pride. I mean, I would venture to say that you have no problem offering help. But you've built up enough, I would say, capabilities. You're very capable people. But sometimes, you know, if you're a parent and you're having to include your children in doing things, doesn't it sometimes go slower? Yes? Sometimes you get frustrated. I mean, sometimes I think, God, I mean, like, fact that we're involved in, like, in ministering, you know, like, and just working for God, with God. I mean, it would have been very frustrating to work with a person like me. But let's talk about the very idea, the end goal of God's plan so that we can understand why the Holy Spirit is so necessary. Okay? John 17, 20. For those who don't know me, I think John 17 is probably my favorite chapter in the Bible. And if it's not, it's Romans 8, John 17, Exodus 33, and Exodus 34, right? I mean, we read those chapters so often. But it is so rich, I just want to revisit. Okay? This is Jesus praying to the Father before he goes to the cross. And it's really outlining, right, the heart of the Father and the heart of Jesus. So let's pray. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, they also may be in us. It goes on to say that they may become perfectly one. The goal of Jesus is not to make you an independently amazing person, an independently amazing Christian who glorifies God in your independence. The goal of God is to cause you to awaken to your neediness, that you would become helpless, or you would awaken to the fact that you are helpless, that without God and his help, and then without the help of your brothers and sisters, that you would waste your life. Isn't that? But what does the world tell you? Oh, be the best version of yourself. That's what the world would say. Be the best version. Be an amazing Christian, right? That's how you find value. That's how you lose value in the kingdom, right? Personal greatness is how you lose value in the kingdom. See, a rising tide lifts all boats in the kingdom. So, John 14, 25, right? This is Jesus, spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, the name of the Holy Spirit is the Helper. The Helper. That means it is not just suggesting, it's emphatically declaring that we are in need of help, that we are a needy bunch, and that we need the help of the Holy Spirit all the time. All the time. And it says, whom the Father will send. So the Holy Spirit is being sent by the Father. And then he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that Jesus, all that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit's job is to bring to life the words of Jesus. In John 16, he says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, is it the Father sending or is it Jesus sending? Well, both, right? Both. Now, how many people believe that it is to your advantage? Now, some people say, oh, I wish I was, because, you know, for those who watch The Chosen, right? Sometimes, you know, when I watch shows like that, you're like, oh, if I was just there, you know, if I was there at the time of Jesus, man, I would be a different person. How many people believe that it's better not to have Jesus with you, and that it's better to have the Holy Spirit in your hearts? How many people believe that? That it is more advantageous to you? Well, that's what Jesus says. It's more advantageous to us to have the Holy Spirit. In John 15:26, this again addresses the Holy Spirit as the Helper. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. So the Father sending the Holy Spirit and Jesus sending the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father, there is a oneness. There's a unity of effort in the way that the Holy Spirit is being sent. The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will what? Bear witness about me. Now notice it doesn't say he's going to bear witness about the Father. He says he's going to bear, the Holy Spirit is going to shine a light on Jesus. I think for a lot of us, several months ago, I went through a series on knowing God. We cannot know God the way God knows God. We know God, and that's called archetypal knowledge, right? We know God in the way God wants us to know God. And that's called analogical knowledge. So, which means we have to have a reference to know God. So he is our rock, right? God is our Father, right? Jesus is our bridegroom. So these are references. So Jesus comes as the incarnate Son, and he bears witness to the Father. So in a sense, he bears witness, the Holy Spirit bears witness to Jesus, and then later that Jesus really is bearing witness to the Father. But here's the next verse. John 14:25 says, he, meaning the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So what does that mean? This is going back to Exodus 33 and 34. When Moses asks God, all right, this is the part that we really need to begin to understand. Moses, before he, you know, as he was now making his way out of Egypt and he's facing all these challenges, unbearable difficulties. And Moses is nervous. Not only nervous, he doesn't even know if God is really for him. So he needs to be validated that God somehow loves him. He's so insecure. And so insecure. He just feels unqualified to lead millions of people to the promised land. So what does Moses do? He asks God to show him his glory. And so then what does God do? God says, okay, Moses, I'm going to show you my glory. You get over in that rock and I will proclaim my name, which is his glory. So the names of God in the way that God is declaring them to Moses is the glory of God. Okay? The holiness of God, now glory of God is the manifestation of God's holiness. So if God is declaring, so what does God declare? He says, I am steadfast love, I am mercy, I am grace, I am justice. So God declared to Moses that I love you with a everlasting love. That's what that word is hesed means, right? Covenant loyal love. So he declared that to Moses. He declared to Moses, I am grace, I am mercy. He declared it, and Moses fell to the ground, both felt sinful, but also validated. So what is Jesus saying here? The Holy Spirit is going to glorify Jesus. He's going to declare what Jesus declared, that he is steadfast love. The Holy Spirit's job is to manifest the glories of Jesus to us. Because when I wake up in the morning, you know what I need? I need to be validated. Because if we don't feel validated by God, we're going to seek validation from the world. How many people believe that? How many people care too much about what other people think? How many people know that that's the Holy Spirit's job? So that you don't, that does not rule your life. If the opinions of other people are too powerful for you to overcome, is because you lack the help of the Holy Spirit. What do we need? We need God to declare to us, right, that he is for us, that he will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. And no matter how shameful you feel, because whatever you've done, you need the Holy Spirit to declare that Jesus took all that shame upon himself. That he is mercy. And that we need the Holy Spirit to declare that even if you don't deserve anything, we need the Holy Spirit to declare that Jesus is gracious. The job of the Holy Spirit is to declare the gospel to you. Now, why is that not happening? And it's so subtle, isn't it? We're so independent. How many people here have tried to talk to Jesus all day? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to talk to Jesus all day. Why is that not a thing? I mean, we talk about walking with God all the time. But we walk in such silence, don't we? Well, every time I sin, I need to talk to God. Every time I need something. Actually, you know, Ellen yesterday, we were just talking, and she's like, you know, like, you do a lot of things without consulting me. Like, talk to me first about, you know, whatever you're going to do. And it's true. It's true. Like, I'll buy something. I bought an ice cream maker, right? In my mind, it was such a great idea, right? And I was like, you did what? And of course, naturally, the question is, well, how come you didn't talk to me about it? And of course, you don't think that's pride. It is pride. It is pride. It's independence, right? Because I live in an interdependent world, right? Where we do things together, right? Of course I can do it by myself. But what good is that, right? When the goal of the kingdom, right, is this unified, this oneness that Jesus prayed. Jesus is praying that you would become one, perfectly one, with God and with what? Each other. Do you think you can do that without the help of the Holy Spirit? No, because we will want to do it ourselves. And then let people know, look, Look all the wonderful things that I'm doing. You do not glorify God by the wonderful things that you do. You glorify God by becoming an essential member of the body of Christ. I need the Holy Spirit to declare to me the love of Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit to declare to me that Jesus, that God is great, bigger than my problems. I need to declare to me that my worth doesn't come from validation by the world. I need that. And here's what I'm saying. Your children need that. Because sometimes we preach a subtle gospel that says you need to be validated by the world. Don't we? I know I do. John 14:9 says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Here's the thing. The Father obviously wants us to come to know him. But the only way we're going to come to know the Father is if you understand his Son, Jesus Christ. And only way you're going to understand his Son, Jesus Christ, is if the Holy Spirit illuminates and glorifies Jesus Christ to you. The only way. See, the only way to the Father is through the Son. And the only way to the Son is through the Holy Spirit. And yet, we barely talk to him. Same line, Matthew 11. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Folks, can we just admit you cannot figure God out on your own? You only know God because he revealed himself to you. There's a way that I know Ellen, and then there's a way I know Ellen, right? You can talk about love, but until you experience love, you don't know love. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son, the Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus is inside your heart. And we barely speak to him. Romans 8:9 says, however, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Notice, the Spirit of God says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Romans 5:1. I love this chapter. And I want us to kind of dive in a little bit. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, that's a legal statement. That means we have legal good standing with God because of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his resurrection. We have good legal standing with God. We have peace. We are not enemies of God. That's good news. Then it goes on to say, through him, we have also. Now, here's some of the bennies, the benefits in being in this good legal standing. Obtain access by faith. Because I don't know if we really believe that God is actually helpful on a day-to-day basis. Is God helpful to you when you're doing the dishes? So that you don't mind doing the dishes. Is God helpful to you in cleaning up your mess? We have to believe that God is helpful. He's called the helper. We have obtained access by faith into this grace in which you stand, and we what? Rejoice in hope. Rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. And here it is this. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Can we just admit we need more of the Holy Spirit pouring the love of Jesus into our hearts? This is not a one-time thing. You know why? Because if we don't rejoice in our sufferings, if we're not rejoicing, right, in hope, what we need is really simple. We need more of the Holy Spirit's work to declare Jesus, to declare his love into our hearts. So that, notice, we don't walk in legal standing. We walk in living experience of the love of Jesus. That's how we walk. It is so, for Paul, this is such a huge deal, right? This is so big because he sees this. People become Christians and then they're on their own. You know what I'm saying? They're kind of like independent. And they're not walking in the experience of the love of God. They become Christians, and guess what happens? They lose their first love. You ever meet people who just absolutely in love with Jesus? How many of you know that you can tell when somebody's in love? You can't tell? I bet you, if you talk to Tammy when she was in college, right? I bet you all her friends could probably tell that she liked Robert. I bet you. Right? Right? It's so obvious that you're probably wondering, why come I'm not saying that Robert, the same thing about Robert? I am, actually. Right? You could tell. Right? What I'm saying is, you know when you're in love with somebody. And here's the thing, folks. Here's the good news. You never have to fall out of love with Jesus. Isn't that just the most wonderful news? And here's what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit, that's his thing. He's going to help us to continue to be in love with Jesus. That when you talk about Jesus, people will know you're in love with him. You know what I'm saying? And Paul's in love with Jesus, right? And the Ephesian church, right? If you know the Ephesian church in Revelations, what happened to the Ephesian church? They lost their first love, didn't they? They lost their first love. They were doing wonderful things for the kingdom. Matter of fact, God had so many wonderful things to say about them. But he said, this I have against you. And he's about to spit them out. Why? Because they lost their first love. That's the purpose of life. Is to stay in love with Jesus and do, because you can't glorify God by your excellence. You glorify God by your gladness. How many people believe that? So Paul prays. Here's what he says to the Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Because the Ephesians are falling out of love. Falling out of love. And it says, through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. Do you know that you need power and strength, right, to comprehend the love of God? And that's what he's praying for. Through the Holy Spirit. And he says, what is the breadth and length and height and depth? Paul's saying, you got to understand how amazing this love is, how available it is to you. And it says what? not only to comprehend, but as is, and to know the love of Christ. What he's saying is to experience it, to know it. Know it tomorrow. Know it in your pain. Know when you get depressed. Know it when you're lonely. Know it when you've been hurt. Know it when you've been taking it for granted. Know it when you go to school and everybody's watching and you feel a little awkward. Know it, because that's the only thing you need. Because if you have that, you have everything. You have everything. And here's the thing. To know the, and what does this love do? It surpasses knowledge. This is not about knowing about, no, it doesn't say knowing about the love of Jesus. We all know about the love of Jesus, don't we? We read the Bible. But the kind of love that surpasses knowledge. And here's what he's saying, that you may be what? Filled with all the fullness of God. If you have that, you have the fullness of God. You have the fullness of God. You don't need anything else. A.W. Tozer has this quote. It says, "The Holy Spirit has not come to do away with the cross, but to write its meaning in the hearts of believers." So that when you sing about the cross, you're not the same. You're not the same. Romans 8:26. We're coming to a close. Let's look at the last verse. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." How many, can we just admit that every day we are weak, right? The world is so, it's trying to, we're not vulnerable. We can't admit that we're weak. For, here's, right, the dependent clause here. "For we do not know what to pray for as we ought." Can we also admit that it's really hard to pray? We need help. We need help. Like, we need help talking to God. Sometimes I find myself talking to God, and it gets a little awkward. It's like, you know, like my mind will get distracted, and then I'll say stuff, and I'm like, what the heck am I saying? All right, forgive me, God. And then I come back and say, okay, Holy Spirit, you just need to help me. Help me to talk to God. And it's okay. We're like little kids, aren't we? But the Spirit himself intercedes. The Spirit loves nothing more than to help us talk to God. That's good news, isn't it? The Spirit wants to help us. God is like saying, talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me when you're in pain. Talk to me when things are hard. Talk to me. And the Spirit's like, let me help you. Let me help you. Every day. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And we're going to talk about praying in tongues. Yes. We're going to talk about it when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. The Spirit wants to help us. He wants us to talk with God, because there are things in our hearts which just sometimes are like, God, I just feel so yucky. I don't even know what's going on. I know one thing, I can't even talk to you. You know what? Here's the thing. That's a good start. That's a good start. You're admitting your weakness. You're admitting your need. But here's what the Spirit also does. And he says, he who searches hearts. The Spirit wants to get at, right, exactly what's going on, right, through the Word of God. But the Spirit is just going to help you, right? Spirit's just going to, because you're just saying, I don't know what's going on. I just know I'm just absolutely miserable. I'm depressed. You know, I'm in despair. I'm restless. You know what I mean? Like, I just, and it's the Spirit's job to help us in those situations. One session with the Holy Spirit is better than 10 sessions with our therapist, isn't it? Can we say amen to that? Amen. Right? Here's the point. The Holy Spirit enables us to experience the gospel of Jesus, the love of Jesus, right? Brings to life the meaning of the cross. The Holy Spirit begins this amazing work, right, to help us just absolutely fall in love with Jesus. That's the goal of the Holy Spirit. And if we can just come to that place to say, you know what, I want to be more in love with Jesus, the Holy Spirit is like, okay, that's my job. That's my job, right? But through faith, we have to believe. When we pray, right, for the Holy Spirit, I prayed for you, right? Every day I pray for you, right? But this is what I'm praying for. This is what I'm praying for. That you will believe. When you ask the Holy Spirit's help, guess what? You have to believe that He's helpful. He's the helper. Sometimes we almost are afraid to say, God, can you help me? Like He doesn't really care about you. No. You have to believe when you ask that He's going to answer your prayer. And you got to talk to God. And that's just the job, right? That's just, it's not natural, but that's just what the Holy Spirit's there for. He's there to help us to pray. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, thank you, God, for sending the Holy Spirit to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing to life, God, Jesus Christ, and making the gospel become reality. And God, I pray right now for those, God, who don't know what it's like to be in love with Jesus. I just pray right now for the Holy Spirit, God, just to bring to life, God, Jesus. God, you sent your Son to suffer and die. God, you nailed him to the cross. And Jesus, you raised your hand to come and take our shame upon yourself that we may become one with you, to walk with you and to talk with you, God, to be in love with you. So Holy Spirit, would you bring that reality, God, to the forefront, God, that we would cast our lives before you. God, as we continue to praise, I just pray, Lord, that you would, Holy Spirit, come and be in our midst. In Jesus' name.